Hastings Crossing is Vancouver's eclectic heart, a welcoming, diverse community rooted in social innovation, compassion, and cultural wisdom.
Good morning, everyone. We are broadcasting live from CITR 101.9 FM Vancouver. I'm Georgia.
And I'm Hannah.
And you're listening to Film Picnic. Let's just say, yeah, first and foremost, we want to acknowledge that Film Picnic is being recorded on the Musqueam, Squamish, and Tsleil-Waututh territory. This land was not given up freely and continues to be home for the Indigenous communities from which it is stolen.
It is with immense privilege that we talk into these microphones and share our stories, as stories have been shared for generations before us on this land. We hope that Film Picnic can be a space of shared accountability, knowledge sharing, and reconciliation. This what always was and always will be Indigenous land.
What a pleasure to be here.
I'm so excited.
It's been a long time coming. I feel like we've just had these many months of pre-production. We've been in meetings. Hannah and I have just, we've been in the garage.
Oh, yes.
As we say.
We have been preparing this since April. It's been almost
six months now.
Has come to us, well, come to you.
The origins of Film Picnic. Before we dive into that,
yeah,
let's just, all everyone listening today is a new listener because this is the inaugural episode, episode number one, if you've tuned in right now.
Welcome, guys.
Thank you for being here. We're incredibly excited to be here with you. How about I'll tell us a little bit about yourself, Georgia. Yes, my name is Georgia. I am a fourth year film studies student at UBC. We are both of UBC today.
We
are both of UBC. Fourth year film studies student, creative writing student. I come from, I would say, a pretty interdisciplinary creative background.
Yeah.
I dipped my toe in a lot of creative pools.
You did some
so
tap
to speak.
In your youth.
Exposed. Exposed immediately. I did do some tap dancing. Fashion, writing, creative things. I've been getting more involved on film sets, getting into the indie film production scene.
Yes, the nitty-gritty of it all.
Yes, as one does. But I suppose my value proposition for Film Picnic is more in my theory knowledge and my...
Your film studies background.
My film studies, my academia.
Yes.
Because obviously we want to create meaningful things, but how do you create something meaningful if you don't know what meaningful is?
So true. It's so important to have that knowledge behind what we're talking about and our experiences in this industry.
Yeah.
I'll share a little bit about myself.
Yes, please do.
Hannah. I'm also, my pronouns are they, she.
Beautiful.
I'm also in fourth year at UBC. I'm in the film production program and also the Masters of Business Management program that Georgia and I are both doing.
Funny how I didn't mention that.
That's okay. That's okay. I call myself a creative producer. I work as an actor. I work at a documentary filmmaking company right now.
Beautiful.
And I'm also a marketing intern at a media consultancy firm, which is super, super fun. I grew up in Tokyo. I was born and raised there. And I spent my teenage years in Sydney on Gadigal land. In 2021, I moved here to so-called Vancouver to study film production here at UBC, which was literally my dream since I was 13 years old. I manifested
the amount of mood boards I had.
Mood boards.
That's beautiful.
And now I live and work on Musqueam, Squamish, and Tsleil-Waututh land.
Okay.
I just want to say, Georgia, first and foremost,
Hannah,
that it has been such a deep pleasure to work with you.
Stop.
Because
making me blush in the studio right now.
We come from the same but different film production, film studies. I think our understanding and knowledge and angles that we come at this industry from and this project really complement each other, and it's been, we just have different strengths and we play to them. It's been amazing.
Wholeheartedly agree. Sorry folks, some technical difficulties. You know what, this is day one.
It is day
one. I feel
one.
Like if the biggest mistake we have is hearing a little notification sound, we're doing just fine.
We are doing just fine.
We're doing just fine. I was also going to say, I should have mentioned earlier, my teenage years were spent on the lands of the Malahat Nation. An important distinction
to
make.
We've both moved around quite a bit.
We have both moved around quite a bit. I feel like that's part of what, I mean, it's been interesting getting to know each other on a creative level.
Yeah.
And in a creative capacity, like doing a project together. But then I think also a really nice friendship has blossomed.
I know. Okay. So do we talk about how we met? Do you want to talk about that? Are we going to go into that later?
No, let's talk about it
okay,
now.
Well,
let's
okay. So Georgia and I met in our second semester of third year. We were both doing an Asian and Australasian cinema studies class.
Mm-hmm.
So good. Love.
Actually, a beautiful course. Beautiful syllabus.
It was important knowledge.
UBC,
also coming from Australia and growing up in Asia, it was just like, I felt really connected to all of the content mm-hmm. that we were doing. But you came up to me at the beginning of the first class and you said, are you Hannah Huggins?
Are you Hannah? Hannah, I knew from deep lore, from other, you know, we're just going to continue name dropping. I'm going to continue name dropping on this
hashtag
on the radio
Ethan
right
White.
Now. Hashtag Ethan White, wonderful creative person that I met in first year who I tried to start a little interview moment. It was too much. This was a year ago. I interviewed Ethan once. I hated Audacity, the editing program.
Sorry.
Just didn't.
It's not our journey.
No, it wasn't my journey then. Thankfully, it is my journey now. But I was like, Ethan, who should I interview next? And they were like, you know, because we were talking about, Ethan is related to film. I should have said that. Ethan is a filmmaker.
Ethan is an artist.
An
multidisciplinary
artist.
Talent.
Also, yes, multi-talented.
Director, producer, actor.
Very much so.
Yeah, all of the above.
But I will say, I was like, Ethan, who do I talk to next? As one naturally asks their interviewee.
Yes.
And Ethan said, you know, the person that's out there doing it right now is Hannah. So then when I walked into Asian and Australasian cinema, which also, again, with your background, you were like, so I feel like you were, the prof was like asking if we'd seen certain films and your hand kept shooting up. And
Kath and
like,
Kim,
oh,
yes,
my
I have
goodness.
Watched that.
Yes, Priscilla, Queen of the Desert.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, I was just immediately like, I need to go. You know what? That was like my first moment of real shameless networking.
That was, but you know what? And then we sat next to each other every lesson. And if I wasn't there, I'd be like, Georgia, can you send me your notes? And vice versa. And I just think we worked so well together.
And here we are.
Here we are. I mean, we were sitting in Sprouts, which is
student-run cafe.
Yes.
Period. Vegan.
Yes. In the
Bottom of the nest.
Yeah, bottom of the nest. Anyway, not really
food
relevant.
Food security initiative also.
Very relevant.
Shout out Sprouts. Has
Shout
so
out
many
Sprouts.
Wonderful initiatives. Community Fridge. Community Eats. Sorry. Okay,
no.
Sprouts plug.
No, that's right. and you were talking about how you wanted to start a film-related radio show. And I was like, that is crazy because actually a few months prior, a psychic had told me that I needed to...
Yes.
I needed to start a podcast. So that was already on my mind. I had journaled about it. I'd manifested it. And then Q brought this idea up. And I was like, I didn't want to like jump
Fate
on
somehow.
And be like, can I do it with you? I was kind of just
no,
like, that
but
sounds
you,
awesome.
Well, that's so funny you say it that way because I was like, I had been aspiring to get involved with another film-related radio show that already existed at UBC.
Mm.
But that was kind of within an existing club infrastructure.
Mm-hmm.
All peace and all love to the real world at the
yeah.
Film Society.
Shout out.
At the same time, I was like, I think I just want to be interviewing people. I kind of am scheming. I haven't like been directly involved with them before. And then, yeah, I don't know. I feel like the stars just kind of aligned.
Mm-hmm.
The stars freaking aligned.
They freaking aligned.
And now we're here and we get to talk about film, which
yeah.
I guess let's communicate our value proposition.
Well, amazing.
Bringing
great
in the corporate
segue.
Jargon. Yes.
Well, I just want to say that I think us both being at Sauder, which is the business school at UBC,
mm-hmm.
has, in a beautiful way, really shoved networking down our throats.
Shoved down our throats is a good analogy.
Because, like, as soon as I walked, had my first class there, it was like, okay, well, where's your LinkedIn? Where's your resume? All of these things.
Mm-hmm. I got roasted for my resume.
Yeah. That was wild.
We had a whole class on resumes.
Oh, yeah, an assignment.
Someone came around, they looked over my shoulder, they were like, that Google template? Like,
no.
You need to be doing more. And I have since Yasified
yes.
said resume.
But, you know, being in the film program, doing all the things in acting and, you know, it was great and there were wonderful opportunities to network. But I think being in a structure of business school really, I guess, drilled in what it is and the importance of it. And it's not just networking, hey, what can I get out of you? It's connecting.
Right.
It's having these conversations that bring knowledge, not just to you, but to maybe someone that you're hoping to gain mentorship from. It's a symbiotic relationship.
Right.
And having so many quote unquote coffee chats with people in the industry that I looked up to, there was a lot of
everyone needs to know that Hannah is coffee chatting.
I'm coffee chatting.
Like Hannah's out there. Hannah's going on a trip to New York. I'm like, oh my goodness, enjoy. She's like, I'm having a coffee chat.
Everywhere I go,
ready.
I like make it not a business trip, but I try to connect with somebody who I look up to, who I would love to learn more about, and not in a, like, can I get a job from you way, but in a, I'm really curious about how you got to the place that you are. What are some of the lessons that you learned? Maybe some mistakes that you made.
Right.
What do you value most in who you work with or who works under you?
Mm-hmm.
And guys.
And I feel like that's why, I mean, exposing Hannah again, Hannah has a job with a documentary filmmaking company, office production assistant job. Yeah. Like,
and that job actually came around because, guys, so important. Let people know what you want to do.
Mm-hmm.
Even if you don't know, like, let people know what you're interested in. Because I got that job because I was on set as an actor and talking about how I'm interested in producing. Down the line, I produced for, you know, one of the actors on set, blah, 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 blah.
Mm-hmm.
I suddenly got an influx of DMs about this job opening because people just knew that I was interested in this field. And so I applied, and that's how I got it. But I don't want to say it fell into my lap, but it came to me because I was outwardly sharing what I wanted to do, what I was interested in, and also just building those friendships and connections with people who are also rooting for you and are also wanting you to succeed.
Oh, yeah.
So and, I think, yeah.
And therein lies the value
therein of lies.
Film Picnic. What are we here to do? To, on the one hand, create meaningful conversations.
Yes.
To be talking about film in a passionate way and bringing on people that we think are wonderful and amazing and have valuable knowledge to share.
Yeah.
And to, you know, to share that knowledge with, it's us networking, but with an audience.
Guys, we're networking for you.
Yeah, and
because this is a community that we're trying to build, and we hope that our network reaches just beyond, like, the two of us.
Well, I was going to say, I think, you know, people, I mean, I won't expose the guests that we have yet, but I'll say we have some wonderful people lined up to come, and if you're willing to help one person, if you know, if a professional is willing to help one person, likely they would love to be helping others.
Yeah.
And if, you know, I feel like there's lots of opportunity for reaching out, being like, oh my goodness, I heard you on the program.
Yes.
This is wonderful.
Yes.
Maybe not everybody all at once. We
that
probably
would be overwhelming.
Won't expose their email or something, but
no. Their socials or however they want to plug.
Right. Yeah.
But
is really the idea.
Yeah. And I'm really excited because something that, I guess I'll say something that I've really taken away from almost all of my coffee chats. A question that I ask people at the end is always, I think I said this, what do you value most out of someone that you work with or someone who works under you? And every single time, without a doubt, the feedback is always someone who is a pleasant person to work with.
Beautiful.
Someone who is willing to make mistakes and learn from them.
Mm-hmm.
Someone who might not have extensive experience, but is willing to learn and open to it and passionate. And what I've taken out of that, it is that it's really about you being a team player, about you being a pleasant person to work with. And that's not overextending yourself until you're going crazy. That's not burning yourself out. That's being communicative, sharing your ideas, wanting, being proactive, reaching out, asking, hey, do you need any support in this particular field that I'm interested in? Or, yeah.
Yeah. I think Hannah is a great person who has knowledge about film-related things. And
thank you.
Also,
are you, Georgia?
Oh, well, thank you. Yeah, I feel like this time on air, Friday mornings at 10 a.m., we're so happy to be here with you guys. Yeah, the idea is really just we want to share what we're passionate about, and, you know, we're fostering a film community and sharing the knowledge that we're gaining, sharing the knowledge that we have. I will say I'm in some very interesting film classes this
And I'm so excited
term.
To learn vicariously through you,
yes,
which I already am doing.
And we'll just be, I'm sure I'm just going to have to be gabbing about some film theory, because why not? I think it's time for a little, we've planned a little get to know you game.
We're going to play Two Truths and a Lie. And why would it be film related?
You know,
we're just going to do Two Truths and a Lie because
one thing about us is we will gab.
We will gab.
We will gab. We will chat.
Do you want to go first or do you want me to go first?
Oh my goodness, the pressure. I can go first.
Okay.
Okay.
You go first.
Fun for the listeners. You guys get to try and ascertain what is true and what is not true. Okay. Oh my gosh. Okay. We'll just dive right in. Statement number one. I have been turned away from the Canadian border, mm-hmm. not once, but twice.
Okay.
Number two.
I feel like that's true.
I have over 10 cousins on my mother's side.
Oh, okay. Specific.
Big family. Yes. Okay. Over 10.
Over 10. Well, you could have 9.
You never know. Unless you know. But I get the idea is
that
you don't know.
I have no idea.
Number three. I am currently enrolled in salsa dancing classes.
Oh.
Hmm.
Ooh. Oh, my goodness. Because I feel like you were talking about salsa. Or maybe I was just thinking about salsa dancing. I don't think you're doing salsa dancing classes. I wish you were.
That's what you think my lies.
And I hope that you are.
What's your answer?
I think that the lie is that you're currently, I think you're planning on enrolling, but I don't think that you are currently enrolled in salsa dancing classes.
Lies. It is true. I am enrolled in salsa.
Have you been attending?
I attended on Wednesday night for the first time.
That's crazy. I clearly don't know.
You know what?
What's going on in George's life?
Listen. Well, I had to choose very specific things because I was like, what have I not told Hannah about? Yeah. And salsa was one of them. Multidisciplinary creative background. Georgia was a dancer for many, many years.
Can I join this class? Said salsa class.
I will say, if you haven't salsaed before.
Oh, God.
This is intermediate level 2.
Oh. Have you salsaed before?
I have salsaed before.
Wow. I'm not surprised. Well, clearly I am.
Shout out to my good friend and roommate, Talia, who we rode here in the car with this morning. She is in salsa and has gotten me into salsa dancing.
Wow. That's so lovely.
It's very
fun. So what's the lie? You don't have cousins?
I have 9 cousins.
You're so right. I didn't say that. I literally said you could
have
9.
You're so right. Yeah.
Okay. Okay. Well, yep. Now I feel like I know you better.
Thank you. For the listeners, did I say this? I'm American. I don't know if I said that.
You
did. I'm
going
to expose myself now. I grew up moving around the States a lot. Tried to go up to Canada because I had a study permit. This is me debunking number one because it's true. Not debunking. It's true.
Yeah.
Me explaining.
Uh-huh.
Tried to go during COVID because I had a study permit and I wasn't
in Canada.
In Canada, I tried to. Period. I just tried to cross the border so I could go.
I knew you had been turned away twice.
Listen, and they were like, because I hadn't had my registration date, I didn't have any like classes that I was enrolled in. So they were like, "You're not enrolled in any classes. Like, no, you're not allowed to go."
That's crazy.
It was.
That seems unfair to me.
But you know what? I made it eventually. And I've been here for 4 years.
And here you
years.
Are. And I'm so glad you
here
are.
Here we are. Yes. Let's hear your statements. I'm so curious.
Okay. Two truths and a lie.
Mm-hmm.
Hannah Huggins edition.
Hannah Huggins. Destiny
Statement,
Huggins.
Hannah Destiny Huggins. Statement one. When I was in primary school, I started my own cult, which had at least 10 members. Okay. Statement two.
You know what? When we were writing these, Hannah and I wrote these separately, and she looks over me and she goes, I have a lot of lore. Or did you say I have
I
a lot of
you
lore?
You have a lot of lore. But I said, I'm going to write something that might shock you. And I don't know if it's okay or not, but here we are, me saying that on air.
Okay.
Number two, statement two.
Mm-hmm.
I have filled 7 journals since moving to Canada 3 years ago.
I feel like that's designed to throw
statement
me off.
Statement three.
Okay.
I went to school in the woods for the entirety of grade 9, where the only way we could contact the outside world was writing letters.
Hannah in the woods. Your face is disclosing nothing. This is a professional actor, everyone. Her face is giving me absolutely nothing. Okay, so wait, we've got cult.
Yes.
Journals.
Yes.
The journals... See, but this is why I'm like, maybe it's like 10 journals, because you journal like a fiend.
I spent an entire year journaling every single day.
And that's on documenting your life.
Period.
Folks.
That's on being extremely sentimental and nostalgic.
Well, but I like that about you.
Thank you. Me too.
I like that about you a lot. Rich memory bank. My goodness. Is it some little detail in the... writing letters to the outside world.
Hmm.
I feel like I haven't heard you talk about being in the wilderness. For a year, that's like an extended period of
time. It's an extended period of time, yeah.
I'm going to say that's the lie.
I went to school in the woods for the entirety of grade 9.
Mm-hmm.
Final answer?
Wait, no.
Wait, no, that's your final answer. I've decided.
Okay.
No, that was actually true. We've talked about this. I went to boarding school in grade 9 where we were in cabins of 10. And we had, like, for warmth in the winter, we had to build our own fires. We didn't have weekends. Instead of weekends, we went hiking or doing other things. It was an insane privilege to be there, but it was definitely grueling. We'd do, like, 10K runs twice a week, no internet, nothing. And we would have to write. If I wanted to talk to my mom, if I was having a mentee bee, I had to write her a letter, and I wouldn't hear from her for, like, 3 weeks.
That is wild, because even from sitting with you for a 2-hour period, your mom calls at least 3 times.
Literally. She calls me many, many, many times a day.
Wow. That's very, I was just Googling. I was like, very John Krakauer. Yeah. Very, okay. Yeah. Like, Alaskan wilderness.
It was a program in the mountains in Victoria in Australia, near Melbourne.
Wow.
I didn't live in Melbourne. But anyway, the lie was actually that I filled 7 journals.
It's more than 7 journals.
It's actually less. Okay. Wait.
Is it?
To be honest.
Was this a trick? Was this game rigged?
Might have been rigged. You could have picked wrong either way. No, I'm pretty sure I've filled 6 journals. I have more journals, but like fully filled, back to front, I think 6. And I did, in fact, start a cult when I was in primary school.
That one checked out immediately. Hannah's charismatic.
I believed it myself.
Hannah is charismatic. Okay.
You know?
Well.
Anyway, I won't go into detail there. I mean, it was not harmful. It was sweet. It was a community.
And that is a great time for us to take a brief break.
We're going to take a quick break.
We'll be right back.
Hastings Crossing is Vancouver's eclectic heart, a welcoming, diverse community rooted in social innovation, compassion, and cultural wisdom. Situated downtown along Hastings between Richards and Gore, you will find some of Vancouver's OG businesses like Nemesis Coffee, Meat and Bread, Dressu, Nuba, and many more. By supporting local businesses and social enterprises in Hastings Crossing, you are also helping to shape a more resilient, inclusive, and sustainable local economy in the downtown Eastside. Find out more about how Hastings Crossing Business Improvement Association is working to support the people and economies of Vancouver's downtown Eastside at hxbia.com or follow us on Instagram at hxbia.
This is Kristen Carter. My debut contemporary pop album, Full Bloom, is now yours to discover. Full Bloom is a living garden of 12 songs that celebrates the beauty and the seasonal nature of life. You can find Full Bloom wherever you listen to music. Visit thekristencarter.com or follow at Kristen Carter Music for more. Funded by Factor and Canada's private radio broadcasters. I just wanna feel alive.
Take a moment, do some more than just
survive. And we're back.
We're back.
We're broadcasting live from CITR 101.9 FM, Vancouver. I'm Hannah.
And I'm Georgia.
And you're listening to Film Picnic.
We did that. We really did that. After our beautiful little get to know you.
Yes.
2 truths and a lie.
Yes.
Getting to know each other. Hopefully,
I feel closer to you. And I hope that you feel closer to us.
I hope you feel closer to us. Yeah. Not related to film, but to be honest, we're scheming. We're just having a grand old time in here right now.
We said, as long as we're having fun,
they're
going to have fun. I hope you guys are having fun.
Yes. I would love to. To be full disclosure to the audience, we are recording this, so there is a video that
exists
right now.
There's a video element that will be live on Spotify at some stage.
Will be live at some point. We do have a little basket in front of us.
Yes, we have the props. We have our basket and our gingham picnic blanket.
Gingham and wicker basket.
Yeah, we went all out for our props and aesthetic.
The picnic theme is real. And
really real.
It's tangible in the studio today.
I'm wearing my Twilight earrings that I got from the apples. Twilight Museum in Forks, yes. Washington. No big deal. But they're apples, so they're perfect for Film Picnic.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Personal little trivia about Hannah. Hannah loves Twilight.
No, it's like, it started off as ironic, and then it's now nearing an addiction.
I would say that was a key feature of your personality that I clocked pretty
early
on.
How embarrassing is that? I wear Twilight merch regularly.
Not embarrassing at all.
And watch it at least 3 times a year, of the films. Anyway,
Pacific Northwest. You found your place. I think it would be nice for us to maybe we just want to spend some time. I think as how many different ways can I introduce this sentence? As people who are cognizant of film theory mm-hmm. and have both studied that to some extent, mm-hmm. we had this wonderful meeting with our
a little more lore about Film Picnic. We have had the privilege of doing this through a directed studies program at UBC, which mm-hmm. means we're actually getting credit for doing this. Yes. But it also means that we have support from faculty and have assignments that we need to submit. Mm-hmm. We've done a lot, market research, et cetera, et cetera.
We've prepared for this.
We literally 6 months of, we are on our 20th meeting.
Oh my goodness, that's so cute.
So cute of us.
But in that, if you haven't already seen our Instagram, at FLM Picnic, because yes. FILM Picnic was...
ours is unique.
We don't know her. Yeah, we're FLM Picnic.
FLM Picnic.
We made a beautiful little trailer video.
We did.
Shot it with, again, name drop Ethan White.
Ethan White, Stella Merkel,
yep.
Nishi Sharma. Incredible,
beautiful.
Talented filmmakers, creatives, mm-hmm. artists.
In this...
At UBC as well.
Yes, at UBC as well. Showed our faculty supervisor this, name drop Will Brown. Wonderful.
Shout out William.
Just an incredibly intelligent person who has taught me so much about decolonization.
Amazing.
Through his Canadian cinema class. Wonderful. We showed him the video and immediately right in front of us, I feel like he was just noticing.
He had so many thoughts.
He had so many thoughts and just was immediately, you know, kind of grabbing onto these more tangible aesthetics and, you know, making these very poignant observations about what we were presenting because yeah. we've got a lot of, there's visceral images. We have food being squished. There's, there's
slow
opera
motion,
music.
There's
slow motion.
It's very bright. There's gingham. There's
there's nature. We run across. It's about a minute, but we pack quite a lot in there.
It ended up being like a little bit sapphic.
Yes.
Not to our intention, but totally fine with that.
Yes. We want to unpack
the picnic.
But I feel like trailer video
is a great place to start.
A big part of that as well.
Can I just say?
Yes, let's.
First coming up with what we wanted to do, how we wanted to present ourselves in this radio show format, we were trying to come up with a concept that had very strong aesthetics because we mm-hmm. look up to... other shows like Chicken Shop Date, for example. Hot Wings, they have great strong aesthetics that they're able to build a show around
mm-hmm.
And have conversations. And so Georgia suggesting, honestly, it was I don't know if it was the first idea that you had, but it was an idea that you were sitting on for a long time.
Yes.
Film
it
picnic.
It was one of the ideas.
Yeah.
The desire for that, I think we're going to talk a little bit more about community in just a little bit here, but I mean, part of it was definitely I don't know. I was like, I want it to be relaxed. I want to just feel like we're hanging out. And,
yeah. It has been.
Coincidentally, it was also summertime.
Perfect.
When picnics are just
booming.
In their heyday. Everywhere you look. I mean, down on, Jericho Beach, Kids Beach,
yeah.
Spanish Banks. How many beaches can I name?
Locarno.
There we go. Okay. I think picnic was just a really kind of rich imagery that we... Because it felt fun.
Yeah.
And ultimately, I think we just want our program to be really fun.
Mm-hmm. And it's also in a situation where we can sit down with our guests in a relaxing mm-hmm. way. We were going to offer them food, but we cannot eat in the studio. So
we can't
going
eat in
to
the studio.
Problem solve that.
You know what? If you want to see some, I don't know, food content on our Instagram, again, directing everyone back to that page.
I think we had strong ideas for what we wanted to do.
Mm-hmm.
But when it came to actually shooting our launch video, it was very much, here is literally all of our props. We just want to play and we just want to frolic and we just want to capture as much of that as we possibly can.
Mm-hmm.
And
for sure.
That is what we did. And
And I think that comes through.
And it was a beautiful way of doing it, because being in the film program, working in film, like, it's a lot of long hours and heavy equipment and strict scheduling and so many people. And it was such a, it was so nice at the end of summer to just have, what was it, five of us go down to the beach and hang out and have some fun with cameras. And it wasn't, you know.
And stayed several hours longer than we thought we would, just because we were having fun.
Yes. So that was a very special experience, I think, for all of us.
The result, again, bringing it back to this meeting with Will Brown.
Yes.
Pointing out, again, that we had some traditionalist kind of aesthetics in there. We had bandanas on. We were in these long skirts. Han and I got these matching gingham tops. But, you know, like something subconscious, I think, that was kind of coming out, like what we thought of a picnic as. Like
So true.
Yeah, my own experience living in the Midwest of the United States.
Yeah.
We called them cookouts, but it was very, you know, traditionalist, you know, sharing food together. And then it was even more beautiful, I think, to watch it and Han and I both observing, like, here's a video of two women frolicking together, and there's something a little fruity about
A little bit fruity, which is beautiful, and I always think fruit adds so much flavor to everything. But also just, it's just interesting to see the way that we unintentionally blended this very traditional aesthetic with this sapphic, fruity, whatever you want to call it.
There's a lot to see.
And I think that is going to continue to shift and change throughout the process of this show. I think that was our first photo shoot, promo shoot that we did.
Yes.
I'm so excited to see what the next one we do is. Maybe it'll be in winter. What will a picnic look like in the wintertime, in the pouring rain in Vancouver?
We are scheming on what an indoor picnic will look like.
Oh, yes.
Let's say that much as well.
Oh, yes. And I think also it's important for us to acknowledge the history of picnics.
Beautiful segue, yes.
Thank you.
That's beautiful. Beautiful.
The history of picnics and the term picnic itself. When I first looked into the term picnic, I walked away with the understanding that it had strong roots and associations with picnics that happened in what period of time? Does it say? A while ago when public lynchings were going on.
Yeah. I suppose we should have said content warning also.
Content warning.
Yes.
Content warning.
I think Han and I are both, we've talked really extensively about just the values that we hold as a show. Mm-hmm. And during our first episode, we thought it was really important to
discuss and acknowledge that.
Discuss and acknowledge the history of the word that we've rooted our aesthetic in.
However, the term picnic does not come from those public horrific experiences.
It derives from a French word.
Yes.
That I didn't want to have to attempt to try and say.
Oh, I'm sure I butchered it. So sorry.
P-I-Q-U-E-N-I-Q-U-E. So essentially exactly what you'd imagine picnic looks like in the French language.
Yes.
Derives from that word. Again, it's about taking a meal in a rural setting. I did a little digging on JSTOR.
Oh, yes.
Background.
One thing about Georgia, she kills it with the academic research.
Do I?
Yeah.
That's nice.
Well, I love reading your notes. I'm like, this is great. This is great information.
I feel like I'm always happy to do the academic research when it's not related to a paper that I'm writing.
Yeah.
Whenever it's just my own personal interest and I'm like digging for facts, that's when I enjoy it the most, I think. I found a paper about a little bit about art history, about representations of the picnic theme in 19th century American art by Angela Miller, and essentially kind of gave the idea of a picnic as most people understand. I'm going to give a little quote here. The ritual of the picnic as represented in historical American art signifies America's changing cultural terrain in the middle two quarters of the 19th century, which I thought was incredibly interesting because, you know, relating film to photography to painting.
Yeah.
I'm in film theory right now. We're doing a lot of this.
Love.
Understanding where film comes from.
Mm-hmm.
You know, painting was the way that people represented reality.
Yeah.
And it's beautiful to think that, you know, Picnic was a part of acknowledging social change. And its theme in art was acknowledging a changing cultural tide. It's beginning to value, well, I guess, you know, with transitions to modern art, I guess what you would call modernism, if we may, you know, began to some extent, value man over God. And this is what was said to me in my theory class the other day. Doesn't necessarily reflect my own personal opinions. Just disclaimer. But yeah, really, really kind of interesting thoughts about what Picnic is in that sense. She also talks about the popularity of picnic scenes reflecting then-current fashions for outdoor excursions that were not only physically and spiritually rejuvenating, but also socially satisfying.
That's beautiful.
And we're here to be social.
We're here to be social. And on that note, and also on the note of my mother calling me a million times a day, which I love, I call her too.
Beautiful.
Also, she sends me Instagram reels all the time, and often she's, before we even did this, she sends me reels about how the modern day picnic is... There's a lot of businesses these days that are reconnecting. How do I phrase this? There has been a huge disconnect, I think, specifically in our generation. And I think a lot of people experience deep loneliness, especially after, again, content warning, COVID. You know, like there, and the disconnect between us being behind our screens all the time and not having as many in-person social events. And picnics are a wonderful way of reconnecting and building that community and just having a space to make friends.
Can I say something absolutely ridiculous?
No.
One of my favorite parts, I'm going to say it anyways, one of my favorite parts about being on the beach or being in a sunny area is that it makes it difficult to look at my phone.
Yes.
And use my
phone.
That's
not ridiculous.
Well, okay, on a personal level, it feels ridiculous that I need physical, like, overbearing sunlight to make me put my phone down.
Unfortunately, it's an addiction that we all face.
Yes. And I think, again, we'll talk about this in just a few minutes, but the launch party that we had was just the most fun.
It was.
And it was really just people connecting with each other, which is exactly what we want.
Before we go on break really quickly, I also just wanted to mention oh my goodness, now I can't even remember what it's called. The Women in View Report.
Oh yes,
The Women in View Report. I had a little read of it. We both had a little bit of a read of it. My wonderful boss, Jessica Hellenbach, actually shared it with me. And I just think it's a really important thing for us to touch on and something that we really want to put at the forefront of our content with Film Picnic. And is that's inclusion of women and gender diverse people. Not only that, but in the intersectional, those with intersectional identities.
Absolutely.
People of color, Black women. It was insane and actually diabolical, the percentage of lead creatives in television and film that were women and gender diverse people of color specifically. One statistic here talks about directing in television. 1.7% of TV and film directors in 2019 were Indigenous women and gender diverse creatives.
And this is in Canada.
This is in Canada specifically. That decreased to 1% in 2020 to 2021. So I think while there is a greater awareness of these issues, there is still deep systematic change that needs to happen. And I think through our community talking about, well, just our identities in general, who we're deciding to talk to.
Absolutely.
And what we are shining light on, we're hoping to just, first of all, obviously make that change, but also just bring awareness to the necessity and why it's important to look at who you're working with and why it's important to understand why you might choose to work with someone who has had less opportunity for experience but might be super, super passionate and willing to learn. There is a lot more that I could go in on there, but I just wanted to touch on that quickly.
No, incredibly important. And I think Hannah and I are also so, as much as we just love to gab, I think we're also so excited to have a platform where, A, we get to talk about film, which we're both passionate about, but a platform where we get to advocate for people that we think are important and identities that we think are important. And to, you know, again, like, be self-aware of the aesthetics that we're playing into and the histories that we're kind of
Because we're still unlearning.
We're unlearning and learning.
We're learning, we're unlearning, and we're hoping. And I'm excited to do it with you guys.
I'm incredibly excited.
Okay, we're going to go on another quick break.
And then we'll be back.
We will be back.
Are you someone in recovery? Someone struggling with addiction or disordered eating? Or are you simply curious to explore your relationship to alcohol, drugs, and other types of addictive behaviors? The UBC Student Recovery Community is a safe space to connect with others. The SRC provides many types of support, such as drop-in hours, recovery meetings, one-on-one support, and even has a dedicated recovery lounge. The SRC supports all pathways of recovery, from harm reduction to abstinence and everything in between. You can learn more at recovery_UBC on Instagram. And you can also contact the community at src.recovery@ubc.ca. Remember, you're not alone.
It's Nardwar, the human serviette, and you're listening to Unseated Airwaves on CITR 101.9 FM.
We have been called the Indians.
Justified in opening fire that day. Amy Allen has more.
The virus took on many shapes. The bear, the elk, the antelope.
Hosted by the Indigenous Collective of CITR 101.9 FM, Unseated Airwaves unveils the hidden pages of Indigenous history and contemporary existence. We are back and looking for passionate folks to contribute to the process of putting together our weekly radio show. Our community centers Indigenous joy, excellence, and current issues. Friends and allies are welcome. No experience is necessary. Come learn with us. Our Instagram is Unseated Airwaves, and that's the best way to keep up with us. If you're interested in getting involved or you have any questions, email me, indigenouscollective@citr.ca.
And if you're just tuning in, we are broadcasting live from CITR 101.9 FM Vancouver. I'm Georgia.
And I'm Hannah.
And you're listening to Film Picnic. It's so fun to say that.
I love it.
So fun to bring it back.
Like, guys, we have been, again, preparing this for 6 months. So it is so exciting to finally be on air and finally be saying our little welcome.
Mm-hmm. I will say, too, we are incredibly excited to be offering some tangible knowledge and those things, and we have an interview lined up for next week.
Yes!
Incredibly exciting, incredibly fun. But today I feel like it's just
we just want to get to know the space. This is, you know, we're live right now, and so like figuring out,
you know,
that whole thing,
figuring out the technicalities
yes,
of it
before we have a live guest.
Yeah. Oh my goodness. I wonder if anyone's on their way to work right now. Are you guys on your way to work?
I hope you're well.
Well, it's like
I hope you've had a good breakfast.
Yeah. And most important meal of the day.
Yeah.
It's a cute time slot for us. We're happy to be here in the morning. Friday morning.
Let's
talk a little bit more about community building. I think that's probably with my not so extensive forays into film production. Which are getting more extensive. They're growing. They're growing. But even in, I would say like rather somewhat limited experience, that has far and away been the most prevalent factor and the most apparently valuable thing. Like immediately, it's like this is community. People call who they know. People decide who is working on their project based on who they know.
Who are their friends,
but who's going to do a good job?
Who do they like working with?
Who cares about the job and the work that they're doing?
Who's going to be proactive?
Who's going to solve problems? Who's going to be there on time?
Who's going to bring their own expertise to the project?
Yes. Mm-hmm. So I feel like, a good place to begin would be talking about our launch party. many of you, hopefully some of you that are listening right now were there.
Oh my God, it was so much fun. It was so,
it was just
it
beautiful.
Filled my heart so much to see everybody that showed up and showed out. There was a mixture of our close personal friends, people that we knew from doing indie sets, and there was also some people that knew of us through our Instagram, which was also crazy and so special.
Someone came up to me and said, "Are you Georgia?" from Instagram.
What?
And I just
where
at the launch party.
Oh
at
yes.
At the launch event, it was it was. I was like, because also marketing. Our
oh,
business
we
brains.
Have been deep in marketing, guys.
We've
I've
been,
never done so much social media content marketing.
We've been doing. We've had a social media strategy we established there. Which,
we did our market
honestly,
research report,
market
which I'm
research
really proud
report,
of.
You did a great job.
You
did
a
great
job
with that. We put a lot of time and energy and effort into making a place for ourselves in the online space, which I think was really important. But also because, at least with, you know, independent filmmaking,
yeah.
Social media is as annoying as it can be. It's a very effective tool to meet people.
I always had a vendetta against the socials. I've been on and off it, but being a producer, it's like, oh my God, I have to have Instagram for my work, which is fine. But I'm learning how to use it as a tool.
I think we're both.
I think we're
both learning.
And, you know, this project of Film Picnic is us learning. We're here to learn.
Oh, yeah.
And so learning about that was really awesome. But having that launch party, we had basically what it was we had a giant picnic.
It was.
We
it
had
was a giant
balloons
picnic.
And food and picnic blankets everywhere.
Arts
and
crafts.
We had, what, like 100 crayons?
It was a big box.
We had lots of crayons. We had spike
several,
ball. We
several
had
several hundred Timbits.
Several hundred.
Well, donut holes.
Donut holes.
Were they acquired from that chain?
Unfortunately.
Unfortunately, yes. Where's our hesitance coming from? We aren't trying to support Tim Hortons like that.
No.
It was a gift card.
It was a gift card. Moving on.
Moving on.
We had badminton. It was just very special, and I think
spike ball.
And spike ball.
Badminton.
And I think people really appreciated the vibe that we brought to the space. Because networking events are often so anxiety-inducing. Like, you don't know anyone. You're going into the space. But we just wanted to make it as comfortable as possible. So for me, someone who's terrible with names, as a producer, as any team leader, I'm always like, we need to wear name tags so that we can actually call, talk to each other human to human and not just say, hey, you, or if you're too uncomfortable to talk to someone because they've just introduced themselves to me and I don't remember their name.
Or someone that introduced themselves to you 20 minutes ago and you're now swinging back and
exactly.
you met four people in that time.
Exactly.
And the name tags were an incredible
It was
help.
Awesome. And then also having different stations where people could like, for me, summertime is my picnic era. I love going on picnics and I love bringing my watercolors because it's just a fidget thing. It's something to do while you're having a conversation. It lowers the stakes of being in a space where you're meeting everybody. And so I think people really appreciated having those little stations. And I think we'll definitely continue to have activities at our live events.
Yeah.
Which and we also can have.
Yeah. And a component of the show that I think we really are excited about. I mean, because we have this kind of presence that exists in the online space. Obviously, we're here on the radio with you all right now. But also, again, just like we believe so strongly in community building. And I think that's so, you know, just one of the main reasons that we're here is to bring knowledge to other creatives and uplift other creatives. And part of that is meeting each other.
Yes, because it takes so many people and so many different niche talents go into making a beautiful film.
Those names in the credits are not just there for fun. It is
so many people.
Real people that have dedicated time and hours and gotten up at the crack of dawn and just, it, I mean, honestly, it's, I think when the first time I was on a set, it was like a magical experience. I was like, this is a gigantic.
What was the first set you were on?
The first set where I was doing a job and I wasn't kind of like passively observing and there for fun was Sticks of Our House. Opportunity,
oh my gosh!
Literally an opportunity which came from me meeting Hannah in class and talking to Hannah about, I was involved with the UBC thrift store on campus, Get Thrifty.
Yes. I modeled for Georgia. That was fun.
Well, again, like networking, I was like, oh, this is a person, you know, Hannah's an actor, like let me pull her for my show. Just me calling somebody I knew that I knew would do a good job.
And that's
being on that set, it was just I was like, look at everyone harmonized, look at everyone.
We were like buzzing bees in a hive dealing with torrential rain outside, which was crazy. But
on the UBC farm, it was a magical place.
It was a magical place. Being there at sunrise was so special. And on that note, like I said before, networking I think has a dirty word. But like what we've done with each other is we've networked. And it's not like, hey, what can I get out of you? It's building a connection. It's a symbiotic relationship. There is a give and take. We are expanding our network individually and together. And I think one thing I really wanted to note was when networking, when meeting people, it's not like, hey, I'm looking for a job. It's, hey, this is something that I'm really interested in and I'd love to talk to you about it. Or what do you like to do? Like at the launch event, we had, you know, shout out Tamara. Hi. I've worked with Tamara before. We worked at the UBC School of Music. We're both audio technicians. Mm-hmm. And that week, I had just so happened to be looking for a sound designer. And we had the launch party, and Tamara reminded me that she really is interested in sound design for film. And I was like, great. Great. Perfect. Right. Come on to my project.
Here we go.
And that's kind of how it happens lot of the time.
Like, definitely. In independent spaces. Yeah. Calling you know.
Yeah.
Or, you know, remembering details like that. Oh, I need a sound designer. Here's someone in front of me that's passionate about sound.
Mm-hmm.
Don't be afraid to talk about what you're interested in. Let people know. Mm-hmm. And I was going to say, too, on the topic of if you're, I guess, in a more formal setting, like doing a coffee chat, which, again, the entire idea of calling it a coffee chat is to make it not formal.
Yes.
So, you know, everyone chill out, myself included, chill out. It's coffee. If you're talking to the right person, I feel like your passion for whatever you're doing or what you want to know more about, you're there because you're passionate about it.
Period.
And also, I think that is really attractive to employers.
Like, it is.
Here's someone who cares about what they're doing and wants to be involved, because, I mean, I don't know. Nobody wants to work with you if you don't care about what you're doing.
No, it shows. And, like, you can really feel that energy. Period. I will say also, like, whenever I'm an actor on larger sets, because I've produced for smaller sets and I've been an assistant producer, but acting.
Hannah is multi-talented.
Thank you. Acting is how I kind of have had my experience in larger sets in Vancouver.
Mm.
I always make I'm always like, yeah, I'm studying this. I'm really interested in producing. And I will always, always, always go up to the producer on set and shake their hand and say, so lovely to meet you. I'd love to talk to you more about producing. Not right this second, because obviously you're working, but just,
you're doing something.
Hey, this is my name. This is my face. This is what I'm interested in. And they appreciate that. And they remember. And more times than not, people who have more experience in the industry, you would hope, are not trying to gatekeep. It depends who you're talking to. But it feels good for them also to know that they have valuable knowledge, valuable experience that they can share with you, that they can support you in. And that's not like calling them every single day and being like, hey, how do I do this thing? But
I mean, dare I say, approaching people even with identities that you 100. Have in common with, just a way to connect with people. Let's be open. Let's be honest. I'm a queer person.
I am also a queer person and a woman of color.
Yes. I think, like, we'll, again, probably get to talk about this a little bit more extensively in another episode, so stay tuned.
Yes.
But we got to attend the Vancouver Queer Film Festival. And
that was so special.
Every conversation we had was just, like, you know, coming in over this common identity, but then inevitably led to us talking about why we're passionate about film and how we kind of navigate identities within that and, you know, what it's like to occupy the space as a marginalized person.
And how they've managed to take up space. And
yeah. And all of those people have been, every single person that we were like, we're starting this radio show. We would love to have you on. We just want to, like, share your knowledge and expertise.
Every single person
was like, yes, I would love to do that. And I think it's because we were really passionate about it.
And on that note, I think, To close off,
I just want to
say, you guys, the film industry is a big pond, but there are so many different avenues to get into it. There are so many different niche areas, and, like, you just have to continue to advocate for yourself, continue
Absolutely.
To believe in yourself, continue to build these connections, to make these friends, to have a life outside of film, also so, so important.
True.
To bring your expertise and knowledge into the art that you're making.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just so excited to explore that more with this show.
My goodness. And let's say there's so many ways to get involved.
So many ways to get involved. For example, on UBC campus.
UBC campus.
If you're looking for independent indie filmmaking, IndieVision is a great place to go.
IndieVision, wonderful collective.
The UBC Film Society.
Right. If you're in Vancouver, there's Facebook groups. If you want to be a PA and you have a car, that's incredibly helpful. You know, or take out your iPhone, film something with your friends, like post it online. Anybody can do it. It's accessible. Get involved.
Job interviews. Apply for jobs that you don't think, not that you don't think you're qualified for, but oh, we learn this in business.
You know,
but women need to feel the need to be overprepared to apply for a job. But if you're interested in a job, apply. They might not think that you're perfect for that position, but they know your face. They know your name. They might think you're great for another position. And even so, you've practiced having that conversation.
Right.
Yeah.
Our parting advice is get involved.
Get involved.
Get involved.
Okay.
What a wonderful way to thank you guys so much for sharing this time with us.
We're so grateful. And see you next Friday.
See you next Friday.